What is up, everyone? It's Ezra here at Moto247, and welcome back to another episode of the Moto247 show. Today is episode number 40, and I'm back here with Joey Crown. We're going to take another deep dive into the Supercross season, talk about Denver Supercross, and make our predictions for Salt Lake City for the final round of the season. I feel like it doesn't have that vibe that Vegas normally does, and obviously they've been out of Vegas for the last couple years doing the final round in Salt Lake, but just with two of the three championships already being wrapped up, with Eli getting the 450 class title and Jet Lawrence getting the 250 East, and especially since Christian Craig has a huge lead over Hunter Lawrence. I believe his lead right now is 18 points. I'm going to have to check that here in a second, but anyways, he has a huge lead over Hunter, and I know Hunter's been on a roll and everything, but something crazy has to happen to Christian to, give up this championship, which we've seen crazy things happen. Flashback to Zach Osborne, that whole deal where that was a really exciting night in Vegas where I think it was three of them had a chance to win the title, and they all had it at one point in that race in Vegas a few years ago. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a little bit different of a vibe this weekend with, all three titles pretty much being wrapped up. Like I said, two of the three are being wrapped up already, and then the 250 West is the only one that is yet to be decided, but yeah, he has a huge lead, so I just expect him to bring that home and for his last race in the 250 class. But anyways, thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back here with Joey Crown in a second. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too, and I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. I have that Geico theme going on, and rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You can post your picture on Instagram and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too. So I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at Whiskey_Throttle_Grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram, hit that follow button, and click that link in the bio. And I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247 and all caps MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well at Blood Lubricants. And we're back here for episode 40 of the Moto247 show. Joey Crown is back on here. It's been a long time since our last episode together. So we should have a lot to catch up on. It was last week, but we're back here to cover Denver and talk about that along with Salt Lake City and finally wrapping up with the 2022 Supercross Championship here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back on. I had quite a bit of fun talking last week, so figured might as well do it again this week and talk about the races and a little bit of bench racing, maybe a little outdoor talk. Try not to keep it too long, but just try to have some fun talking about dirt bikes.
Yeah, and I guess like Denver wasn't too crazy, but there's still a lot to talk about from that race, and I guess we can start off with the 250 class. And honestly, I thought Christian Craig was going to wrap it up, and he got that second place start right behind Hunter there, and he was on his butt the whole time.
And honestly, I thought he was going to make the pass, and he was all over him, and he didn't, and he ended up going down in that sand section, and that jump, that sand jump into that section, was kind of weird. I was waiting for someone to go down on that the whole day, but yeah, I definitely thought he was going to get Hunter there. But yeah, Hunter's on like a streak now, and I definitely wasn't thinking he'd be picking up this many wins.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The way Craig looked in his heat race, and then even the first few laps of that main event, like, he was all over Hunter. I just figured it was a matter of time. And you could definitely see his sense of urgency. Like, he wanted to win that championship. Like, he did not want it to go to next week. And he made a couple little mistakes, I was seeing, and I was like, you know, he's sending it. And, yeah. Fell on that one little awkward hip jump thing there, and unfortunately, but he's still in up third, which is cool. Brings it on the last round. Be good to watch, being East West shootout. So a little more entertaining for us for sure.
Yeah, and I was talking in the intro about how normally Vegas is super exciting. You know, the track is a little bit different. Normally, there's at least, I don't know, like two titles that haven't been wrapped up yet. Like, maybe the 450 class, or at least one of them have been wrapped up already, and the other two are kind of wide open. And I was even talking about, what was it, 2016 or 17, back with Osborne, Jordan Smith, and Adamson Cerullo there in the 250 class. Was it 250 East, I think, that year, where Zach will end up getting the title there. But it was just super exciting, where now two of the titles have already been wrapped up, and the 250 West class is kind of going to go to Christian Craig unless something crazy happens. I think he has an 18-point lead, so it's kind of wrapped up there as well.
Yeah, it's kind of stinks a little bit. Not the championships, well, two of them being wrapped up and this one pretty far apart, takes a little bit of the excitement away going out of the last round, but you know, anything can happen. Like, what was it, last year, was it, that Craig got hurt last round? I think he broke his leg in practice or something. I'm pretty sure him and Colt were going to the championship, and they used 8 points down. And, yeah, he crashed, got hurt, and, you know, took him out, which, granted, 8 points is still a decent gap, but this shows anything can happen. And, you know, it's just, it's a possibility that something can happen, but yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. And I'm sure there'll be some good racing either way, you know, being championships not on the line or not. East-West shootouts are always entertaining and cool to watch, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be cool if the teammates, the Lawrence brothers, you know, maybe they have some team tactics going. But, like, honestly, if Christian Craig gets, like, 10th place, he's fine, you know, so there's no really pressure on that aspect of it. But I think just a lot of the fans, not all of them, but the majority, at least that I see on social media, they think all these guys are robots out there. They're all, like, superhuman or something, where no nerves can affect them at all. And even Christian with the 18-point lead, like, I'm no pro rider or anything, but still, he worked for that your whole life. He's 30 years old now, and he's this close to a championship. He knows what happened last year, as you said, with, you know, him getting hurt there. And, like, I still assume there's a lot of nerves, you know, even with having that 18-point lead.
Oh, sure. You know, it's got to be in the back of his mind what happened last year. So, and he's, the fact that he hasn't won a championship yet, and it's been such a long road. Definitely a lot of nerves going into this last round. I can only imagine. I mean, you can't, you know, discredit that. So, hopefully he can, you know, have a good, clean race, and, you know, I don't want to see anyone crashing or anything, and it'd be cool if Hunter won, but I don't want to see Craig crash and get hurt to let Hunter win. But sure, it would be interesting watching Hunter and his brother. Like, I think they're, Hunter and Jed are both, you know, the best, best they've ever been in Supercross. And it'd be interesting to see them go at it. I wouldn't be surprised, like, them being one and two with how it's setting up to be, because Craig, sure, he's not going to be going for it. Fortner, I don't think he quite has the speed. He did win last weekend, but I don't think he quite has the speed as Jett and those guys do quite yet from being hurt. But yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. And right when I saw Hunter, I think my first time watching, well, I know for a fact, I guess, my first time watching him was at Red Bud for MX and Nations back in 2018, and he had so much hype coming over, and, like, up until now, or this season at least, he really hasn't, I guess, lived up to it, and, he showed flashes last year, he hasn't lived up to it, but I should say he's made a lot of progress every year, so not like he's way off or anything, but he's making a lot of progress, and I guess my whole point is he's finally kind of living up to the expectations that everyone had of him when he came overseas from Australia, or from over in Europe. I guess he was over there after Australia, but from the GPs over there, you know, and he's finally kind of making a dent here in the U.S. and Supercross too. It's, you know, the harder thing to pick up for those guys, and he's coming over here doing really good. He's got a few wins in a row. And I'm really curious to see how he does outdoors. But until then, you know, he's going to have a pretty good Supercross season. Like, you can always play the what-ifs. I think anyone can do that, racing or anything in life. But, you know, he had that one race where he crashed in the whoops. And you can say, what if, you know, if he would have just stayed up there and got whatever position he was in at that time. But, you know, even if he doesn't get the championship, which it's not looking like it, I think it's still going to be a really good year for him, and I guess, like I said, I'm really curious to see how he's going to be in the outdoors, and I think that's going to be a really good championship. I wish Christian Craig was racing 250, just, you know, they have all those guys, the Lawrence brothers, him, and I think Cooper will be back for round one, I'm pretty sure I heard, so, but, you know, either way, it's going to be really good for the outdoors. But, yeah, for Salt Lake, Christian, really want him to win the title, but I was thinking, like, even if he doesn't win the title, Hunter is a really good guy too, it seems like, and either way, I'd be pumped for any of them.
Yeah, without doubt, it'd be cool to see either of those two guys win. Cool, they're both haven't won a championship before, and coming to the last round, yeah, it'd be good to watch. And then going into outdoors, Hunter is clearly in the past has shown he's been better at outdoors, but he just battled the injuries and whatnot. So coming into the season this year, clearly he's healthy. So it's going to be cool to watch with him in there, and then his brother and Justin Cooper. And unfortunately, I heard that Martin won't be back for the first round, so. I was really bummed to hear that, but there's still be a lot of fast guys in going for the title.
Yeah, and we're just talking about before we started recording this episode here, we're talking about Tomac, which we'll get to him later, but just talking about him getting hurt and just how crazy it is that he hasn't got hurt in 5 years, maybe. It was something like a crazy long period of time that he's been healthy. You know, he probably had some stuff he never told anyone about, but nothing that kept him off the bike for any rounds. And talking about Martin there, and you know, everyone else in 250 class that's been getting hurt, like Forkner's been getting hurt. How much does that affect you coming back, not having a full off season? Let's say if you get hurt and possibly getting the bike on the bike like even a month before, how much does that actually affect you going into the season and you know, throughout the season, as we've seen in Forkner over the last couple of years as well?
Yeah, it's huge. The big part of our sport is base training and having a good base built, which that's meaning like long endurance cardio rides, usually on a you know, road bike or mountain bike, around 2-hour, 3-hour rides, and just building that base, and then having the base strength training too. You know, you do in the off season, you do a lot of, you know, this is usually what most of the guys do. I know this is what I do and what I've heard other people doing, but, you know, you lift a lot of weights as well and get, you know, really strong. And then getting closer to the season, you back off the weights, you do a little more plyometrics, a little more high intensity stuff on the road bike, some intervals, and you know, sprints on the bike. So when you're missing all that, when you only get like a month on the bike after being off, you can't fit all that in a month, you know? So you just do the best you can do, and that will hinder, you know, your fitness in the motos. You'll definitely see towards the end of the motos, the guys dropping off a little bit, and especially with Cooper. I don't know how long he's been riding for, but I'm sure he still, you know, he broke his foot, but he probably was still doing cardio, whether, you know, using like an Aerodyne or a hand bicycle or whatever. You can, there's a lot of ways to work out, and I'm sure he's doing strength in his upper body and stuff, but you still can't train like you would normally. It can for sure hinder in your results, and especially in the outdoors, it's brutal having 230 plus two lap motos with only like really only 45 minutes in between. It's that's the biggest thing for myself turning pro was that close gap in between motos. I couldn't believe it. Like the first time I, you know, get down the moto, you're just spent. The first moto, you're done. And then, you know, by the time you get back to the truck, just get changed. I mean, you maybe lay down for a couple minutes, and then it's getting your back on, you're going back up the line. It's pretty insane. So all the off-season base training and the intervals and all that stuff helps you recover quicker and be more ready for the second motos. And, you know, lacking that makes it a lot more difficult. And that's, speaking from my experience, I had a lot of rough off-seasons and experiences of watching of others too.
Well, and heck, even when you had that, was it 2019, the off-season when you won the Red Bull Straight Rhythm, you went over to Geneva and won over there. Just that whole off-season, it seemed like you just carried so much momentum and, you know, staying healthy that year and heading into the Supercross season over here too.
You got really quiet all of a sudden.
Are you there?
Yeah, there you are.
I was just saying, when you had that healthy off-season, was it 2019 when you won the Red Bull Straight Rhythm? You won that, then you went over to Geneva, won that. Then I felt like you just carried so much more momentum going into the 2020 Supercross season. I think it was 2020, but anyways, the following Supercross season.
Yeah, that was huge. That was really my first off-season pro being healthy. And I still, a week before the first round, got a concussion. So I still wasn't as good as I could have been, but I had that base. You know, I didn't lose anything not riding that 1 week, strength wise or fitness. I had that base built up. I did a lot of strength training that off season, a lot of long bike rides. I still struggled a little bit with fitness the first few rounds, a little bit because that was my first time running up front in a Supercross race, so I tend to hold your breath a little bit. But it was, you know, rapidly progressing. And, I mean, you could see, everyone could see my results from 2019 and 2020, which there was a lot of bike issues in 2019. I was kind of almost scared to ride that motorcycle, to be honest. But also, I only had under a month on the bike riding before 2019. So it for sure makes a big difference. And you could see it in my results in 2020.
Yeah, and from what I noticed, just being around you growing up and just the sport in general, I guess, too, how much that actually affects these riders. And I'm seeing people online, you know, you got a bunch of idiots online expecting, like, Faulkner to come in here right away and just, like, not even this year, but, like, over the last couple of years since he's been hurt, they expect him to come in and be as good as he once was, you know, when he was up there battling for the title and stuff. Like other guys too, a lot of other guys when they come back and you don't really see them, that, you know, as that having that same speed, I should say, and yeah, I think a lot of people don't get like how physically demanding this sport is and how important it is to have a good healthy off season heading into if it's the Supercross season or outdoor or whatever it is, and just how much prep it is. Not like it's, okay, you can, you know, start and here's the next race 3 weeks away or whatever, you know. It's like you have to have a, you know, a long, I guess, plan or just a long time to, you know, prep for it, I should say. But, yeah, like seeing stuff like Forkner come back, and I'm actually found myself defending him, like, in the comments a little bit. I try not to read the comments on, I guess, mine or in any other, like, the Supercross page or whatever, but I found myself defending him, which I'm like, heck, what am I doing? I really don't care for Forkner that much, but just, you know, seeing people talk crap, it's, you know, I guess it's kind of funny at this point, but it is what it is with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and two, it's not even just having a healthy off season; it's stacking years together, because they all blend together. Like, with me, this past injury, I've been, you know, off bike for almost, well, basically 7 months, and for a good part of it, I couldn't do any exercise or anything, so you lose a lot of it, and you're almost starting from ground zero, basically. So if you're able to stay healthy year on upon year on year, like, that's huge. That is very huge, because your base just keeps building year by year. If you take a month off after the season, you still have the base of the all prior year and the off season that year. So being healthy is huge, and it's tough too when you are hurt. Like, the other guys are still riding, they're still training, you know, they're getting better. So when you're sitting at home on the couch, that's, you know, a lot of it with me too. Like, when I was in amateurs, you know, 80s on the big bikes, I used to battle with Forkner and Sexton and Justin Cooper towards the end of the amateur stuff. He's a little bit older than me, but you know, battle with those guys and beat him at times. And when I kept getting hurt, and those guys kept stacking years and getting better and getting better, where I was just trying to, you know, get hurt and try to just get back to where I was, you know. So that's a big thing. And you see, like, Chase and a good example too is look at Chase and Forkner, where they're both at in their careers. Like, you know, Chase was able to stay healthy for 3 years, I think it was like 3 years in a row in the 250 class maybe, and he won 2 titles, and now he's an established 450 guy. He still struggles staying off the ground, but he's won races and been on the podium multiple times this year, versus a guy like Forkner. He came out swinging, doing really well, winning races, like, shoulda, coulda won that title, and then he got hurt, and then came back and got hurt again, and then you get to see their career paths are, like, splitting, you know. Sexton's, like, I think next year, going to next year, he'll probably be the favorite to win the title in the 450 class, versus Forkner, you know, he's going to be in the 250 class again. So it's, yeah, being healthy is important.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, just pretty much, yeah, you summed it all up, pretty much, like, with both of them, and two, like, remember when Sexton won the title, everyone thought it was Forkner's title, and, oh, he pretty much, he only won that because Forkner went down and I think got hurt that season, or, yeah, I think he got hurt towards the end or whatever, but anyways, like, Forkner was the guy coming into the pros, and Sexton was kind of right behind him, yeah, now it's like, it's, you know, just the script is flipped, where, you know, Sexton has a HRC deal that, and he's been killing it. He's, like you said, he's been on the ground a lot, and I just still can't get over his crashes. Like, he has so many crashes, but they're so weird and so awkward. Over, like, the last 2 years, you know, that Houston one last year, then Minneapolis this year, and heck, I can just go on forever with all these other crashes where it's like, how in the hell does this stuff happen? But he's been healthy for the most part, like you said. He hasn't missed too much time, and especially over that 3 year span in the 250s. And yeah, and, like, I've been thinking about that a lot, because, you know, growing up watching you guys, it was, you know, you, Austin Forkner, Chase Sexton, even guys like you three were always battling, I remember. Then there's guys like Sean Cantrell up in there, and a few others as well. And you can, you know, just see, you know, out of all those, like, six guys, you know, like, just injuries have played a huge role in it. And it's really unfortunate too, because not even, like, your group, but, like, the people right above you, and then the guys, like a year or two younger than you, like Kobush and stuff, a couple years younger than you. It's, I don't know, sad to see because, you know, everyone getting hurt. And then I don't know if it's them getting hurt or being burnt out or whatever, but like a lot of people are hanging up the boots, and Kobush came back, but I think he took a year off where, it seems like a lot of people are getting out of it early. And I'm even seeing some of the amateur guys, calling it quits too, which is, you know, just really unfortunate to see because, you know, that, you know, worked their whole life to be a pro and you know, and just to go through that, the hell of injuries or just being burnt out or whatever it is. It sucks.
Yeah, it's brutal. Like, it's kind of harder sport in a way, like the training facilities and starting so young. Like, there's a kid at club on a PW50, like, they're training. I mean, his family was there with him. He wasn't there by himself. They lived, I think they lived an hour away or so. Like, they weren't far from home, but still, he was there training on a PW50, and it's, oh man, like, it's cool. He's a really good rider and developing his skills and stuff, but it's just too early for that. You know, I myself, like, I never was at a training facility or anything really till basically when I turned pro. I mean, I was at some periodically, a month here and there, but never full time. And even then, you know, I was like, not really burnt out about it, but it was, you know, close and been times where I kind of felt that way, and that's not even living it your whole life. So definitely see a lot more guys getting burnt out, and you know, and it also, the guys that can withstand it, this elevates the sport that much more and makes it harder for kids to go to school and stuff. You see more and more people getting pulled out of school, which is horrible to see. A lot of kids getting quote unquote homeschooled and then never actually doing the schoolwork or anything. I went to school to 8th grade, and then I did online schooling, which was legit through high school. Like, there's no slacking off, or I wasn't graduating, and I actually graduated, got a diploma. It was tough to do, but looking back now, I'm very thankful I did it. I hated it, you know. I bugged my parents to let me not, you know, just get a GED or just not do it, you know. I kicked and screamed.
I remember, but, like, you want to hang out? And you're like, oh, no, I got to do schoolwork. I'm like, okay. And it sucked, too, because it seemed like, even back when you were amateur, it seemed like that was a full-time job in itself. So it was like you had a full-time job of doing that, then you had to do schoolwork on the side, and it's like, trying to juggle both those, you know, it seemed pretty hard.
Yeah, it is hard to do those things. And when you're trying to do the online schooling, you're at home, there's a lot of distractions, you know. Like, I'd rather just go work on my dirt bike or drive my RC car or drive my bicycle. There's so many other things that I'd rather be doing right now. But at the end of the day, you got to be disciplined and do it. And like I said, now I'm thankful I did it. And, I have that diploma for, you know, who knows what I'm going to be doing in the future, after motocross. And, right now I'm working on dirt bikes and kind of falling into that role, but I'm training kids. But, you know, it's, you got to have that education to fall back on, you know, because you never know what the future is. You don't have to go back to school and go through all that again. It is cool. One thing they did implement is, I'm pretty sure any new, like, after, like, I think the year before was the first year they implementing this rule, but to race the 450 class, you have to at least have a GED.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, anyone who's already in the 450 class, they don't have to. But yeah, I have a friend, Nate Augustine, he wanted to race the 40 class last year, so he didn't finish high school. So we had to, you know, go get his GED. So he was going to night classes, you know, doing it. He would miss training days because he was going to take tests and did the work and got his GED and to race outdoors. And it's cool to see him do that and go back to a form of school, I guess, and at least get his GED. It's cool that the sport enforced that rule. So maybe you'll have more people, you know, pay attention to it and try to stick out doing some sort of actual schooling, and not just doing the quote unquote homeschooling and not really doing anything.
Yeah, and I see, who was it? Who's doing the online or on track school or whatever it's called? I see him at Loretto's all the time, on Instagram. Is that Lieb's family? Who is it?
It might be Julia Lieb or something. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but whoever it is, yeah, I think it's that family. But yeah, it's cool to see. They always have some graduation ceremony, I think, at Loretta's, and it was cool to see Jeff Emick actually graduated too. He never graduated until, what was that, like a couple years ago at Loretta's, along with a ton of other kids. But yeah, I think that's something that's definitely important. And even if these kids turn pro at 18, you know, even before that, you know, when they're 16, you know, even before that, like on super minis, it's like a full-time job. So yeah, I definitely think it's important to go to school and graduate, because like you said, you know, who knows what you're going to be doing after your career, and you know, unfortunately it's going to have to end at one point, which you know, if you have something better to fall back onto, you know, it's always great.
Yeah, and the sport isn't guaranteed, that's for sure. I'm living it right now, or been living it. Shoulda, coulda, woulda been at a different level in my career, but you know, injuries that could take you out any given day, and then you maybe can't race again. So you might have to get a job, and you might just need a high school diploma to get that job. You never know.
Yeah, and just like we're talking about with all the injuries, it's you hear a lot of riders say the sport's cruel too. You know, it's like once you're, you know, like hurt all the time or whatever it is, just hearing riders talk, and it's like the sport's all for you until, you know, it's, you can't do anything for them. You're not benefiting, you know, their team or you know, whatever. But yeah, it's definitely cool with the Lieb family has going on. I think it's the Leaves. I have to look that up after. It's kind of killing me. But yeah, it's pretty cool. But then going back to the injuries, I guess we can get started here in the 450 class. Well, the news this week broke that, or I guess after the race, that Eli Tomac tore his MCL. So that kind of explains everything that's happened since Atlanta. Everyone's been freaking out online. I'm seeing people saying, oh, no, he's just playing it safe because he has a huge lead, because I think it was over at 50 points around that time. And a lot of people are saying, no, he's off. He's like the old Tomac, you know, hot and cold. And it was kind of funny seeing all both those types of people go after it, or go after each other, I should say, and argue on Instagram and Twitter and stuff. But yeah, he finally broke the news, and it really sucks. Like, I'm really pumped for him that he got the title though, because it happened a few rounds ago.
Yeah, I definitely thought something was up after seeing him, not necessarily after Foxborough. Like we discussed last week, when Anderson ran, and he's like, I mean, beginning of the race, he looked really good in Foxborough. In my opinion, he looked like he was going to win. And then Anderson ran it in there and he stalled it. And I just figured that spooked him and took him out of his rhythm. He started thinking a little too much. I mean, he's got a championship in the line, and he didn't want to push it on the track, you know, so that explained his result. And then this past weekend, he was ripping. Like, he was in the top three for, I think, 10 minutes of the main, and then he just randomly just started dropping back. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. And sure enough, on the podium, he said he hurt his knee, and which thankfully he was able to finish. I would have been devastated for him if he wasn't able to finish the championship out with because of his injury. So that's definitely good news, and hopefully he can recover and come back for outdoors swinging.
Yeah, and I listened to an interview with him from Monday, and it seemed like he was pretty confident, and he'll be back for outdoors. At least, I mean, the first round, at least, obviously, he'll be back for outdoors at some point. But then what I've heard from a couple sources online, that it's like with that MCL, it heals on its own. And I think they said it's like a 4 to 6 week process. So if he takes this week off, he said there's a 98% chance he's not racing, which I think it would be stupid to race at this point because there's nothing to gain. I don't know, maybe some bonus money, but you know, if he gets a win. But you know, besides that, there's nothing at all to gain at all. So he, you know, I don't think he should race, which I've seen a debate online as well, which I guess every time I say it or bring up the term online, it's always a bunch of nonsense, you know, online. But yeah, so if he takes a few weeks off and even if he gets a late start in outdoors where he, you know, he's not, he hasn't been on the bike, I guess, for that long, I think he'd still will do pretty good overall in the championship. And you know, hopefully he gets to have a little bit of seat time, though, before round one.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I really want to see the best Tomac this summer to make it good. Like, I feel like Anderson's going to be really good this summer. You know, Ferrandis, he's been grinding, I believe, outdoors for a while now. So he's going to be good. Sexton will be good. I mean, there'll be a lot of guys. So hopefully we can get, you know, oh, and Malcolm too. I forgot he's going to be outdoors. So hopefully we get a good championship, you know, like a battle, like kind of unlike how Supercross was. I hope that's what we get. And then also Caroli and Dungy coming too. So for the first few rounds, that'll be even cooler and make it even more interesting to watch.
Yeah, and I'm kind of bummed that Jeffrey Herlings isn't coming over. He announced that he isn't racing until 2023 with his injury, just having issues with that, which is a bummer to see. But he did say he's going to come over at one point, so I don't know if he's coming over for a race or if he actually plans on coming over for a whole summer to do the outdoors here, but I guess either way, that would be really cool. But I was just hoping that he'd come over this year. It's like a perfect time. Tomac is absolutely on his A game right now. Caroli's coming over, like you said. Dungy's coming back. And I think that would be a perfect time to have Herlings over, but I guess it is what it is. And I'm still pumped, beyond pumped, in fact, that Caroli and Dungy will be racing. And they both said, I heard Caroli said at least two. He'll see how it goes after the first two. And I heard Dungy said he's going to do the first two. So I don't know. I kind of have a feeling Dungy's going to stick around, though, if he does good, which I have no idea where he's going to finish. Like, we all know how just how good that guy is, and he's proven, you know, to be one of the best of all time there. And I've been thinking, I'm like, is Dungy going to be in the top five or, you know, towards the bottom of the top 10 or what? But either way, it should be really good racing.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool to watch. Just those two guys coming in and jumping in just to see where they're gonna lay out is gonna uplift the entertainment factor. I really don't know what you're gonna get from Ryan. I bet he's gonna be in shape. He's gonna be ready, as ready as he can be. Being out for that long and then coming back jumping in, it's gonna be cool to see. I think he'll be at least 5 to 10, if I were to guess. And then I feel like Caroli is gonna be 3 to 5, kind of around him there. It all depends on how well his off season is there, how much he's been training, which I hear he isn't coming in like he would for the GPs, so he won't be in his best shape. But I feel like he'll be pretty darn good, you know. He's used to racing 2 days in a row for however many, you know, weekends out of the year, usually in the GPs, and in my opinion, a lot gnarlier of tracks. So he's going to come over here, and these tracks are going to be, like, smooth for him. And then it's just one day of riding. So I feel like he won't have any issues in the fitness department. It's
going to be
a cool outdoor season.
Yeah, and me along with everyone else, I think, I really hope they do more than two races. And I was thinking, I'm like, come on, if they do two races, like, why did you pick the California races? I'm not just saying that because, you know, we're from Michigan here, but I feel like the better tracks are on the East Coast, and it'd be really cool to see them at Red Bud. That's kind of me being biased from Michigan, but, like, even something like Bud's Creek or Unadilla or something, I think that'd be really cool to see him over there. But hopefully they do good, and you know, kind of get addicted to it, I guess, and continue to race. And it's kind of funny, once I saw the announcement with Dungy, I saw, like, right after that, I saw a post from his wife, and his wife was seemed kind of pissed off that he was coming back because they have two young ones at home. But, yeah, I think Ryan's going to be really good, and yeah, it's been, like, 5 years. That seems like yesterday, though. That's crazy how time flies, how much time flies there and stuff. But, yeah, it should be good. And with Anderson being on a roll here in Supercross, I don't know how that's going to transition over into the outdoors, but I don't know. I at least have a feeling that he's going to be a little bit different outdoors, a little bit more like he is this year in Supercross.
Yeah, I think Jason, it's crazy to think he hasn't won an outdoor overall in OB class yet, but that's for sure going to change this summer. Coming off his best Supercross season he's had, in my opinion, and the best he's looked in the outdoors. He's going to take that confidence and roll it on the outdoors, and the Cowie's clearly proven on the outdoor and outdoors. You know, Eli and Adam, you know, have done really well outdoors. Adam almost won the title in 2020, I believe.
I think so.
And yeah, Osborne ended up winning. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 2020. And Eli clearly winning all those titles. So I think he's going to be, should be in better on the Cowie than the Husky. The Husky hasn't really, and even, you know, all the Australian bikes haven't really proved themselves in the outdoors here in the States as of late, the past few years. Compared, even GPs, they're clearly proven to be the best bike, but over here they've been struggling. So I feel like jumping the Cowie for him, I think you're going to see as much or more improvement, like in outdoors compared to Supercross for Jason. And segueing back to Caroli, I did hear there's a good chance he's going to be at Redbud for the outdoors. Because he wants to do just nations this year at Redbud, so he wants to do the national there too. And I heard at least, and maybe Udilla also. So we'll see what happens. I feel like if the first two rounds go really well, he's going to be here all year. But we'll just kind of wait and see. But it sounds like if he just did the first two rounds, he's going to do Redbud also, which would be awesome. I would love to see him race at least once in person before he's officially done racing. So and then Dungy, I couldn't see him not racing Millville, being at his hometown race, unless if the first two rounds, just even if they just go okay, like if he's 5-10, I think he shows up at Millville either way for sure.
Yeah, why not at this point? You know, he's already out there. It's a little bit later in the season, but I don't know exactly when, but I think it's what, around the time Redbud is, right? Normally. But
Millville?
Yeah. Is it before?
Yeah, after? I believe it's around there. I can't remember if it's before or after. But
yeah, anyways, yeah, he should, I don't know, even if it's a few weeks or a month or whatever, after, like, round two, I think, yeah, I'm all for, well, I guess, I'm for him doing any round, I guess. But, yeah, anyways, it would be really cool. And so I'm really pumped on that. I don't know if I've been this excited for outdoor championship in a while. And we got Ken Roczen coming back. And holy moly. Yeah, I don't even know what to think of him. Or expect of him. I don't know. Like, he's been going through hell. And he's having a lot of issues, unfortunately, health-wise. And we've seen it last year. Like, in Millville, he killed it. Then he just came out. It might have been the next round after that or sometime around that, where he went from really good to like not good at all, like just, you know, having more issues with whatever he was dealing with at the time. But it's just really unfortunate to see it there. But, you know, hopefully he's healed up, and I've seen a couple of videos of him riding on some outdoor tracks. So yeah, I can't wait to see him in round one as well.
Yeah, I mean I'm gonna predict that he'll win round one. But then after that, I don't know how his season is going to go. I mean, you just look at he's a really good opener at seasons. You know, the start of this year, for instance, he's coming in like, oh, I've been feeling good, like, you know, playing it down, like not expecting anything of himself. And then he goes and wins. Or outdoors last year, same deal. The year before, like every year in Supercross, he always opens well, whether that's a win or a podium, and outdoors. He always starts the season strong. So we'll see how it goes after the first round, but I'm claiming he'll win round one.
Yeah, I'm definitely rooting for him, and we all know what he's capable of. We saw what he's did on the Soaring Eagle RCH team back in the day, what he's did on KTM and even on Honda there before the injury, and you know, hopefully he's up front. And then another thing is too, is we're talking about a few minutes before we started here, was Anstey is looking like he's heading to Kawasaki, so they have a 450 ride for Monster Energy Kawasaki for the outdoor season, so that would be really cool as well after the whole deal went down with Rocky Mountain KTM kind of screwing those three guys over.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that. That's another thing. I think a lot of people don't realize how good Anstey is. You know, in the GPs, he was like, he could run with, I think he beat Hurlings his last year racing GPs at Lommel, I believe. And I think he actually might have had a broken collarbone or something crazy, or sick, or so he had some sort of issue going on. And he beat Jeffrey Hurlings, the fastest sand rider in the world. So, and he, you know, won other races over there too. And his performance at Motocross Nations, it's probably 5 years ago at least by now. He won this Nations. So, you know, he's going to be one to look for. He's going to be finally on a good, like a proven good bike. Being on the Temp Suzuki the past few years outdoors, they haven't really been proven, and they're obviously not a factory team either. So, yeah, seeing him on a good bike, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised seeing him in the top five, if not on the podium this year. He'd be another contender.
Yeah, I definitely think he'll be up there, and I haven't watched too many GPs, but over the years, I've always remember him seeing him being up front on Rockstar Husky for a while there, and when he was on that Standing Construct, or whatever it's called, KTM, a few years ago. And, yeah, so I'm really pumped for him finally getting on some really good equipment, and especially after that whole deal with the Rocky Mountain, but, yeah, excited so for that. So, yeah, the whole season, like, like I said a second ago, I haven't been this pumped up for outdoor season in a long time, so it should be really good. But before that, we got one more round of Salt Lake City. You want to make our picks here? Is there anything else you want to touch on for Supercross or anything before that?
No, I think you covered pretty much everything.
So let's make our top three picks. We can do 250 or start off with the 250s. I guess it's a whole team tactic thing now. I guess with Christian doesn't have to win. But the team tactics with Honda there, so I don't know. I feel like Hunter's going to win because he's going to have to win and just hope that Christian falls and DNF somehow or whatever. But so I guess for my 250 picks, I'll pick Hunter to get first, Jet to get second, and I don't know who's going to get third. I don't even know. I don't know. I feel like Christian's not going to get third, but at the same time, I feel like he's still going to be on the podium. I'll put Faulkner. Yeah, I put Faulkner, then I don't know. I can see Craig getting like fourth or fifth.
Or Hampshire too, even.
Who knows with him? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's my podium too. Maybe Faulkner in second. I'll go Faulkner second, Jet third.
Okay. So. Yeah. I'm curious to see how Jet does too, if he's just gonna go out there and play around or whatever, but yeah, I feel like Hunter, you can, has he won the last, four races? Or is it three?
Right Hunter, now? Yeah, you four. Got four in a row four right now.
So let's see if he can make it five in a row, so I guess we'll find out after Saturday, but, going into the 450s, Eli's out, I think Anderson's going to win another one. Anderson. I don't know. There's so many guys. Marvin's been doing pretty good lately. I don't think he's going to get a second, though. Anderson. Going bold with Malcolm. Then Marvin. I feel like I'm kind of going on a limb there. And with that, I don't feel too safe with those picks, though. But I guess those are my picks.
Yeah, I'm going Sandy. I think Marv's gonna win. He won Salt Lake. Didn't he win it last year, I believe? I think there's two Salt Lake rounds last year, and he won the one and got second of the other. It was two of his best results of the year. So I think Marv's gonna come out and stamp it on top. Anderson second and Sexton third is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I'm all for that podium. Yeah, a huge Marvin fan, and it'd be definitely cool to see. And hopefully he doesn't retire. But even if he does retire, that'd be a really cool way to end his career on a win there. And he's been doing really good lately. And like last year, he kind of gained momentum as of late. And the same with this year. And so that'd be really cool. And definitely be cool to see Sexton up there as well. And it's crazy how fast Sexton's been with getting so many fastest qualifier, the fastest in qualifying, I should say, then going out and just having those crazy crashes like we were talking about earlier. But I guess we'll see how our picks are and how accurate they are. I've been all over the place this season, so I'm definitely not the man to listen to for fantasy advice or anything. But it's just crazy with how stacked the field is in the 450 class. It's mind-blowing, honestly. But anyways, it should be a really good entertainment for all of us watching. It should be a really good last Supercross round. I guess nothing really crazy is on the line, like we said. Nothing much with two of the three titles being wrapped up, then Christian having an 18-point lead. But it still should be some good racing. But, I'm just looking forward to round one in the outdoors. But anyways, yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll be back next week talking about Salt Lake.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Moto247 Show. I'd really appreciate it if you guys would go give us a follow on our Instagram pages. We are on there at Moto247 is our main page. Then our podcast page is on there at the Moto247 Show. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening again, and peace out!